Today, we're talking about the inner witness, and we're going to look at a scripture here in a moment before, but I just want to share, have you ever maybe taken the wrong road, you know, in life or on a trip and maybe ended up where you didn't want to be? You know I have. I remember one time we was coming home from Wisconsin, and I missed my exit, and it took, it's about half hour into that or so, that I noticed that I missed that turn. It took me 3 hours to fix that mistake. And, you know, it was kind of later at night, so I was not a happy camper. But I think sometimes in life, you know, we can get that way too. You know, we can take the wrong turn. We can maybe, you know, misread information. You know, we all sometimes are led by our emotions, aren't we? You know, our emotions can, you know, lead us astray. And I believe that, you know, there's a better way. You know, God has, in infinite wisdom, given us a guide. Now, a guide is important. You know, sometimes if you use a guide, if you go to a new place, they can usually maybe show you a shortcut or maybe a safer way how to get somewhere. You know, I traveled overseas some, and every now and then I'd have to ask for help. Didn't know where I was for sure. And a guide really helped out and brought me to where I needed to be. But the guide I'm talking about today is the guide that God has given us, and that's the Holy Spirit. You know, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gets the short end of the stick because everybody knows what a father is, because every one of us has to have one, right, to get here. And everybody knows what the Son is, you know, Jesus. But yet, how do you relate to a spirit? So it's kind of freaky for some to really acknowledge that. And I'll be honest, just to throw this out there, there's some wackadoodles out there, aren't they? You know what I mean? They believe that, you know, they make it really sound spooky, you know, when they talk about the Holy Spirit and they go off on a tangent and, you know, and say some weird things. So we're going to try to bring some balance to that. The passage I want to look at is found in Romans 8, verse 12 to 16. It says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die." Okay, it's going to get a little bit better here as we go along. I know that was kind of a downer right there. But it says, "But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body," the Bible says here that you will live. "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you so much for the anointing of the Holy Ghost today. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, I yield to the gift that you put inside of me. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And we thank you for the anointing that's going to break every yoke of bondage on our lives. Holy Spirit, just have your way here today. And we bind up Satan from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, talking about a guide. You know, have you ever ran into somebody that you just knew that you knew that they needed guidance? You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're going to look at. I'm that way sometimes. I need guidance, and I believe we all do. You know, some examples of guidance in life that people kind of explore, some of them are a little dangerous and dicey. But, you know, the first ones that we all learn since we've been raised, is that we're led by our five physical senses. You know, by what you see, smell, taste, touch, or hear. You know, Doubting Thomas had that. You know, here the other apostle says, "Hey, Jesus rose from the dead." He kind of said, "Yeah, right. You know, if I don't see it, I don't believe it." He said, "I got to touch it. You know, I got to put my finger right in the holes of his hand, and that's the only way I'm going to believe." Well, it doesn't take a lot of faith if you touch it. You know what I'm saying? You know, God wants us to be people of faith, to be able to start to tap in. So, you know, when we're being, now I'm not saying you throw away your senses, you know what I mean? Because that's not common sense if you throw away your senses, you know. If something's hot, you don't touch it. There's some things out there that we need to do. But when it comes to the things of God, there's some things that we need to appropriate by faith and start to go, that may go against our senses. And we're not going to receive our miracle unless we learn how to do that. Another thing that people kind of do for guidance is some people have no guidance at all. They do it by guess or by golly is what I call it. You know, just kind of whichever the wind's blowing, they just kind of wing it. Don't have a plan. just kind of go along with life, just let, you know, people or things, you know, drift them this way, drift them that way. And, you know, I don't think that's a good way to be guided through life. Another one, people get a little more spiritual. You know, they get into spiritism, you know, horoscopes or fortune tellers. You know, I know myself when I was in my early teens or, you know, I was out of school, a friend of mine kind of got me on this thing and I explored transcendental meditation. That's a cult, man. Stay away from that. That's of the devil. But I tried it because it sounded interesting to me. You know, I had enough of God just to know that after I got into it, you know, this ain't right, but I didn't have enough really to, you know, not try it. So I explored it a little bit, and yeah, it was kind of different. I don't want to go into it too much, but, you know, it was my way of tapping into spiritual things. You know, I didn't tap in to the right thing. That was God. So I repented of that, and that's another sermon in itself, but, you know, finally I got on the right way. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that we need to test every spirit to see if they're from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is what I tell people. Sometimes some Christians get a little spooky, but, you know, this may be a surprise to you, but just because something pops in your head, it doesn't mean it's God all the time, does it? You know, I've had some things pop in my head that wasn't God. You know, I just found out. I mean, that just ain't the way it works. So how do we discern this? And hopefully through the next week or two, we're going to be able to figure out how we can better be in contact with God. Because there are many voices in the world trying to lead us astray. And that's a fact. You know, the devil doesn't want to give up. You know, I know that the devil's been defeated. How many would believe that? Jesus defeated him at the cross, right? So Jesus won, right? Has the devil quit? No. So that's why we need to be aware and understand that we still need to stay in tune with God. And just because the battle's been won doesn't mean that you and I aren't going to experience some smaller battles down here. We won the war, but the battle rages on. And see, them voices are trying to lead us astray. And I know, like I said, in my life, I've been led down the wrong road a time or two. You know, even since I've been a Christian, you know, starting out, you know, I maybe didn't discern things properly. I listened to the wrong voice, you know, and I know it can happen. You know, a lot of times, I'll be honest, there's something that's enticing about them conspiracy things that's going around. You know, I don't want to say it's too good to be true or something, but there's something in there that just hooks us in. And that's why we need to be careful. And we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, in the last days, difficult times will come. You know, I believe we're living in those days. I believe we're in a days that, you know, it's being exposed to us. It's been revealed, you know, a lot of the things that's coming to pass. You know, all these earthquakes, this pestilence, all these different things that's kind of coming into our lives at a more repetitive basis. You know, I believe God is trying to get our attention. But as sure as God's trying to get our attention, you know, the devil's trying to deceive us and take us down that wrong road. He wants us to miss our exit. He wants us to see the same way that the Holy Spirit leads us to good things. The Holy Spirit can lead us away from bad things. And that's why we need to get to know Him in a personal way. You know, the idea of following God is very important. 1 Timothy 4:1 says that some, not all, but some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. So, not wanting to scare anybody, you know, different people have different views on eternal security. I try to stay with what the Bible says. And, you know, God's a judge, we're not. But I'm just telling people, you better stay right with God. That's safer. You know, why roll the dice on something like that, you know, and play games with your eternity? But, you know, the Bible says in John 10 that the sheep should know the voice of the shepherd. Well, who's the shepherd? Jesus Christ. Now, I'm the under-shepherd here today. You know, but everything I say, you need to take, you know, and look in the Bible, make sure it's true, you know. But we need to learn the voice of our shepherd. And there's another voice, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit leads us, because Jesus said when He went away, He sent the Holy Spirit. And we're going to that a little bit next week. So the Holy Spirit's here today for you and I. Remember, it's God the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And He's the ever-present one in our life. Now, when you're born again, when you've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, The Holy Spirit comes into you. Now, do you feel Him all the time? Probably not. We don't, do we? I don't. Maybe I don't think anybody else does. He's in there. And there's ways that we can, I want to say it in the wrong way, enhance the anointing on our life, be able to be better in contact with Him. And there's some little things that we can do on our end, you know, to be able to get to the place where we have that better contact. You know, just like we did worship today. Good songs. Amen? Amen. You know, really powerful. You know, got us right there, didn't it? Yes. You know, and that's one of the things that a lot of people miss during this COVID-19 deal. You know, the fact that we couldn't come corporately to worship. And I talked about that a little bit last week. You know, there's just that anointing. And as we, you know, God inhabits the praises of His people. You know, it's just simple as that. So you need to get to a place where they're singing some songs that'll get you there. You know what I'm saying? And this happens to be one of those places. See, there's a difference between being led by our soul or by our human spirit that is influenced by the Spirit of God. And this kind of jumping a little deeper quick, and I'm going to explain this a little bit more. See, we all know, right now you can see my body, right? I couldn't hide behind a pole, could I? You know, so you ought to be able to see me. You know, but inside of me, that's the real me. See, this here is an ever-changing thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's ever-changing. You know, some parts are falling off and there's parts been added. You know, and I like to get rid of a few of those parts. You know, belly maybe is one of them. But on the inside, that's the real me. My spirit and soul. Now, there's a difference between those two, and we're going to look at that a little bit more later. But the idea, we know that, you know, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, okay? So the spirit, you know, we're created in the image of God, you know? So God is a spirit. So we're a spiritual being. We're born dead spiritually to God. That separation because of the chasm of sin that Adam brought into our life, and we inherited that sin nature from him. So that makes us separated from God. Now, we have a soul. Now, our souls, our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. I mean, a lot of people, you know, pretty smart people, aren't they? You know, some people are really wise. They can really figure out some good things. And the soul really is how you and I interrelate, you know, for the most part with each other and with the world around us. Because that's just how we flow, isn't it? Now, that's why it's important we need to understand the difference between the two. See, that's why when you're born again, you're a new creation. As far as God's concerned, you're good. But your soul hasn't been fixed yet. You can still be a jerk and be a Christian, right? How many? No, don't raise your hand. You know, I know I've been a jerk since I've been a Christian. So that's the part or the process that needs to be worked on. And to be honest, you know, we can live out of our soul down on this planet and really function well because there's a lot of sinners doing that now. But one thing about your soul cannot get you in excellent contact with God. That's why your spirit needs to be reborn. Now, before you're saved, you know, I remember God drawing me, you know, trying to pull me close to Him, but I didn't have that close connection with Him. Not until I got saved and surrendered my life. So, a little bit about that, because what happens is that when you and I live out of our soul, we're living by our feelings. And our feelings can lie to us and cause us to make bad decisions, can't they? I think we've all been there. How many have been emotionally involved in a decision, and then you made that wrong decision because you were mad or something happened? You know, that's why we need to learn how to step back and start living out of our spirit and let it have dominion in our life. See, our feelings do not always line up with God's Word, but the Holy Spirit will always line up with God's Word. What I want to say by that is anytime we're being led by the Spirit, we need to make sure that it lines up with God's Word. Now, if you feel you're led by the Spirit to cheat your boss, that's not led by God's Word, is it? You know, if you feel you're being led by the Spirit to allow a physical attraction to develop with you and your coworker when you're still married, That's not being led by the Spirit, is it? No, the Word of God tells us explicitly, you know, how we're to govern our affairs. You don't steal, and you don't, you know, get physically attracted and allow that to bud with somebody of the opposite sex or the same sex, I guess. You got to watch out what you say these days, you know. When you're married, that's just the way it is, you know. And so we need to make sure that we understand, because our feelings will lead us astray. And what's going on inside of us right now is, you can feel it sometimes, but not all the time, is that there's a tug of war going on inside of you, if you're discerning enough. You know, the only way this tug of war works is if you're wanting to grow. Now, if you don't care about your Christianity and you're just, you know, a one and done person, you know what I'm saying? You come to church and that's about all the time you think about God in your life. Well, you probably don't feel a whole big tug in your life. But if you're really wanting to grow in the things of God, you're going to start to experience that tug of war. Because that tug of war is between the old life and the new life. Like I said before, Jesus defeated Satan at the cross, but he did not quit trying to attack us. And it's the same way here. Just because we're born again and we have that new life inside of us doesn't mean Satan's going to stop messing with you and trying to drag you back. To me, he gets greater credit if he makes a Christian fall away from God than he does just a sinner who's already out there, because he can discredit the minister. And there's a lot of things that happen when Christians fall. And, hey, people make mistakes, and that's why the blood of Jesus is there. You know what I'm saying? We can come back. We're the people of comeback. So we need to make sure, because whoever this war that's going on, who determines the winner is our will. Now, some people have a strong will and some don't. That's just the way it is, right? Willpower. You know. But when we, by an act of our will, say, God, I want you more than I want the old life. And you, how many times you got to say that? Till it gets done. Until you start to get the victory, right? Just because you say it once don't mean it's so, does it? You know, we need to continually, you know, speak words that's going to head us in the right direction, so we can get what we want, where we want to be, because our human will determine the winner. And whenever our will, whatever it lines up, you know, that's how it's going to work. So we have to, I guess, you know, put our heart into it. You got to want it. You know what I'm saying? You have to want it. And I'll be honest, a lot of people don't want it. And they're still floating through life. And, you know, God's a judge. We're not. My goal is to try to keep you on fire a little bit. And that's why I share what I share, because I believe that that's the better life. I lived that life, and now I'm living this life. This life's better. That's by my experience. You know, it's a great place to be. And, you know, like many of you probably have had to have a counselor in your life, a guidance counselor. Remember back in school? I mean, it's been a long time for me, but I know my kids have went through college, and, you know, the first thing when they get to college, they usually assign them a counselor. They may use another word. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, this counselor, if you're going to school, like to be a school teacher, okay? So then this counselor, they've been there before. You know what I mean? They've seen the big picture. So they tell you, well, this year you take these classes. Next year you take these classes, and then if you follow that counselor's advice, when you graduate, you'll have everything you need. Now, you could have done it on your own, and you might have, oh, this class looks fun. I'll take this class. Well, $3,000 or $4,000 later, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't give those classes away for free. Well, you've had all these fun classes, but you're not any closer to where you need to be. And that's why we need a counselor to sort through that stuff, to help us, because I found out that the more complicated life gets, the more that you and I need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will take us where we need to be. And I thank God for the inner witness. So the next thing I want to see is the idea of being led from fear to acceptance. Now, we've kind of interweaved in this in the last month, a lot of this information. That's how the Holy Spirit leads me when I preach. I kind of get on a vein of truth in God's Word, and then I weave in and out in that truth, trying to give us a little bigger picture. And so we're going to look at from fear to acceptance. And to me, connection is everything. I've been disconnected in life. You know, You know, I've been out there on my own and never had the connections I needed, but I'll tell you what, you know, it's kind of cool. Like me, being in town this long, I pretty well know a lot of people to call. Somebody comes to me with a problem, if I can't fix it, I know who can. You know, and I'm connected with different people. So to me, staying in the loop is important for relationship growth, right? We need to grow in our relationships. And, you know, I hope, you know, husbands and wives, you guys are growing in your relationship with each other and not growing apart. That means you have to have something in common. And we're gonna look at that a little bit. So staying in the loop with God is important for spiritual growth. Now, you know, there's always deeper waters with God we can go to. Nobody's going to arrive till the day we die or the day that Jesus comes. So there's always information out there, more of God. I just, you know, look back through the years, and just since we started the church, you know, over 20-some years ago, you know, there's things I thought I knew, but boy, as I got older, man, I didn't know nothing. You know, I've learned more. I've stayed connected to God. Now, I could have settled where I was at and I was functioning. But see, there's more. There's more for you and I. And see, that comes through that relationship that we can have with God. And that is so awesome that He wants to have that relationship. And so you and I need to stay in the loop. You know, there's a lot of times, you know, we've made the mistake here at church and we've maybe was going to go do something and we didn't get everybody in the loop. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe somebody got mad then, or, you know, that just didn't work as good because everybody wasn't in the loop. So communication is the key to any relationship. Now, this is something I want you to think about. You need to believe that the Lord wants to speak to you. There's a lot of people that don't believe that. You know, like we looked at previously in the earlier weeks, how when the children of Israel were up around the mountain, you know, and God was speaking and He was getting kind of loud, you know what I mean? Thunder and stuff and quaking of the mountain. The people said, hey, Moses, we don't really want to talk to Him. You go talk to Him, then you tell us. And see, that's sometimes the way we feel. You think, well, Pastor Brad will tell us everything we need to know. I can't do that. That's not my job. I can only tell you a portion. But you need to have your own relationship with God. You need to be in connection with Him. And that's going to help you. You know, I wish to God that I would have been, you know, into this more when I was. I just, you know, envy the young people in this church. The things that they can learn and they can run with that I waited till I was in my 20s to do. You know, so it's important to get that communication even as a young person. So you need to believe that God wants to speak to you. Now, don't get all weird about it, you know, because this happens. Some Christians, they get off on a tangent, you know. Just keep it real, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to go into that too deep today. But, you know, don't get weird about it. See, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of slavery, okay? We're not a slave to sin anymore. Sin has no power over us. See, the Old Testament, you know, revealed how you and I don't measure up to God, but see, the New Testament reveals how we can fit in, how we can be a part of God's family. And I don't know about you, but hopefully, if you're in a family today, hopefully you guys communicate. There's always that one, though, isn't there? You know what I'm saying? That one that wants to stay away, you know, that wants to be the Sasquatch of the family and stay away from, you know, everybody. But hopefully we all want to get close to each other and to be able to communicate with each other. See, we're not under obligation to live by our flesh anymore or the old nature. See, you know, don't say, well, my, you know, back when I was a kid, Flip Wilson, he was a comedian, he always had that thing, the devil made me do it. You know what I'm saying? Some of you kids ought to Google that or look on YouTube. I don't know if he's on there or not, but he always had a saying, the devil made me do it. You know, well, you're a Christian. The devil don't have to make you do nothing. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to let that old nature pull you back and bring you back into the old ways. Now, we're going to make mistakes. I'm not saying anybody's going to be perfect, but I think we need to be heading that way because I believe that we can live the high life and not the low life. Now, I'm not calling it a low life right now, but I'm just saying if we're living out of our soul, that's a lower life than it is to live out of our spirit. Because God is a spirit and He wants to communicate, and we need to be in tap and in tune with Him. So it's by the Holy Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh, the scripture says here. So it's not about masochism. You know, you keep beating your body and putting it down and, you know, doing all these things to try to keep your flesh in line. No, it's by the Holy Spirit that God wants to do that. So, you know, have you ever heard of DIYs? Not a DUI. You know, don't want a DUI, right? We want a DIY people, do-it-yourself people. That doesn't work with God. Do-it-yourself people fall short of the glory of God because we can't fix our flesh. All we can do is fall in line, you know, with what God and let the Holy Spirit change it. See, I had to quit a lot of things when I started out in Christianity. You know, I could have been a borderline masochist because I have a strong will. And if I decide to do something, I'm just going to do it no matter what. But I found out I couldn't do it on my own. I had to let God help me. See, the good news about the Holy Spirit is that He leads us out of our past and gives us direction for our future. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to dwell in all the pain and the failure and the heartaches of your past. And maybe, I know I've had some, but He wants to get us focused on our future, where God's taking us. You know, God has taken us all somewhere. He has a place for us. We're not there yet. I'll be honest, as crazy as it is, you know, when I first got saved, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was be a preacher, let alone a pastor. That's just not how I saw myself. But yet, over a process of time and the leading of the Spirit, He brought me here now. Now, if He'd have told me and gave me a snapshot of the whole thing, I might have did a Jonah on Him. You know what I'm saying? Went the other direction, you know? But, you know, fortunately, He just gave me what I knew. That's what He's going to do for you. Talks about the spirit of adoption here. Now, this is what I want to do to try to get us to a place of acceptance in our life. You know, He wants us to feel that spirit of acceptance, you know, that we don't have to strive to fit in. You know, I remember first starting out in Christianity, I was so nervous, you know, being around other Christians because I just figured they were so spiritual, you know, at least the way they let on they were around me, you know what I mean? Well, then I followed them home one time. Wasn't like that. But anyway, I digress. But see, that spirit of acceptance, of being able to be brought into a thing and you don't feel out of place. You know, I hate it, you know, being in those situations or circumstances where we feel out of place and we don't have to strive to fit in, but we just automatically are there. See, the Holy Spirit does not make us feel like slaves, but He makes us feel like sons. You know, when you get into a family, you know, it's good. Like, you know, the best way I can explain it is when you get married. Now, maybe you had a bad experience in this or not, but some can, some don't. But when you marry into a family, hopefully you get accepted. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody does. But God's best is you feel that acceptance where you marry in that family and you feel like that family is now your brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? And that you're part of that. That when you go to family reunions, you don't feel weird. You can just enter in and be a part of the family. Heck, you can go in the refrigerator and get a snack if you want. You know what I'm saying? That's family. You don't have to ask, hey, could I have a glass of water? If you have to ask for a glass of water around your family, you haven't been accepted yet, or you haven't felt acceptance yet. You know, we need to get to the place, especially with God, you know, that we feel that. See, the Holy Spirit is going to always lift us up and not put us down. He's going to bring conviction, but He'll never bring condemnation. There's a difference between the two. When we mess up, yes, He'll convict us on the inside. All we have to do is repent and go on, but He won't make it personal. You know, if you slip and fall and do something wrong, your identity is not in that sin. Your identity is in Christ. That sin is just what you did. It's not who you are. And see, the Holy Spirit is always going to lead us out of that. He's going to bring us back into that relationship and put us to the place, you know, that we need to be. See, it's freedom from not having to perform and resting in God's grace. You know, we shouldn't feel like an orphan. We're going to go into this a little more next week. But that orphan spirit struggles for acceptance. And orphans can feel abandoned in this big world. And it's sad that some parents, you know, maybe give up their kids or maybe their parents are killed, you know, or something happens. You know, but God wants us to know that we don't have to feel like that. Especially in the family of God. God is the Father that brings us in. And a good news about an orphan, when they get picked to be in a family and they're brought in, you know, they've been chosen. to be brought into this family. And God wants us to see that. He has chosen us and brought us out of that feeling where we're all alone in this big world. And he sent the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us so that we can feel close. Because ever since we've been born, you know, there's always been something missing in our life. We were made for a God connection. That's how God created us. And Adam fell in the Garden of Eden and broke that connection. So when we're born into this world, we're born with a hole in our heart, a hole with something missing. And we try to cram and stuff so many different things in there, trying to fill that hole, trying to fill that void, whether it be drugs, alcohol, relationships, food, whatever it is. We're trying to stuff something in there because we know that's missing. Something's missing. But the truth is, it's only God that can fit in that hole. Just like the little kids who have that little round toy that has the little shapes and you have to put the right shape in the right hole. Have you ever seen a kid get mad and they're trying to cram a square peg in a round hole? They even get out a hammer and start beating on that. And see, that's what we do. But see, there's only one thing that will fit in that hole, and that's Jesus Christ. And then we start to be led by His Spirit, and God will give us that inner witness. See, we need that God connection so we can have that witness. Lastly, to bring a little more peace to our heart, it talks about the Spirit that testifies. In verse 16, it says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. Now, what I want to see from that, and we're going to go into it more later, is the fact that how the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit. Didn't say testifies to our soul, did it? See, our soul is renewed by the Word of God. See, that's how we change our soul, is we get into the Word of God and allow it to come in there, and then we start to see transformational change. But God is a spirit, so on a spiritual plane, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit. See, we're, like I said, we're a spirit, we have a soul, live in a body. And on a spiritual being, because we're created in God's image, and we know about our soul and our body. So God wants to communicate to you through your human spirit. And see, when we're born again, we come alive to God, and that opens up that channel of communication that we can have with Him. Now, I've found out it's easier to hear from God after being saved and allow the Holy Spirit to come into my life. Now, full disclaimer, I don't feel God talking to me all the time. He'll speak to me through the Word. You know, I mean, I know some people kind of wrecked it for some. You know, they make it sound like, you know, the Holy Spirit talks to them every time they're awake all the time. God's telling me this. God's telling me that. God's doing this. God's doing that. I don't believe that. I believe they're missing it. You know, if God's doing that for them, that's right. But I don't believe God tells me which bathroom stall to pick. You know what I'm saying? I think God's got better things to do. You know, but some people go that far. You know, I think God will lead us, because a lot of that, I think, is our own human reasoning. There's ways that God speaks to us that we have to be in tune with, and we're going to look at a couple of them right here. Because we need to get, you know, first, number one, is the idea that we need to know that God speaks to us through the Bible. And that's where He talks to our soul, but it can transfer then over. Because the Holy Spirit, what He does when we read the Word, is that He'll energize it, shall we say, and jump it into our heart so that we see some. See, we need to get full of the Word instead of getting full of the world. See, the sad thing with the church today, we're full of the world, and that's a fact. You know, we're so, you know, getting people to do something for like an hour spiritually is almost like pulling teeth. You know what I'm saying? They just can't handle it. You know, they want 10-minute bites or 5-minute bites, and that's all they're good for. You know, because we're so full of the world. See, the world is enticing, it's entertaining, and all these different things, and, you know, we just want to gravitate for that. But see, we need to make sure we get full of the Word of God. Next, how God speaks to us is the inner witness. It's that little nudge on the inside. And what that is we know that we know that we know. And, you know, every now and then you're going through life and you're making a decision or something's coming up and you feel that little nudge on the inside. Hey, you know, I think God's trying to tell me something. He's maybe telling me to do this or not to do this. You know, and we need to develop that sensitivity to God. It's going to take a little time, but if you want it, you'll get there. You know, you just got to want it. You got to start to develop that. Just like if you wanted to learn another language. You know, I don't know how many times I was going to learn Spanish in life. I just thought it'd be kind of cool. I start off for a day or two, and then the fun wears off. I don't really want to. I'd love to play the piano. don't take lessons. Of course, that probably wouldn't help me anyway. But you know what I'm saying? If I really wanted it, I would do it. And so you got to want this. Lastly, is that still small voice, that little whisper, that God will speak to you. And you know, and you do these things by, you know, developing your prayer life and developing all these things. Just take a little time to get quiet. You know, just a little tidbit of extra information. When you sit down to pray, don't do all the talking. We do that, don't we? We sit down there and we got our list made out, telling God, I need this, I need that, and God do this, and God do that. Shut up for a minute. Let God have a little time to talk. Get quiet before Him. You'll be surprised what might come to you. Be mindful of the Holy Spirit. Don't take Him for granted. You know, practice sensitivity. You know, you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we can grieve Him. See, there's a difference between the Spirit of God and the devil. See, the devil tries to force himself on you. Demonic spirits try to push themselves on you and influence you, like a spirit of lust or spirit of greed. All these things try to manifest. But see, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit wants to be invited. He's not going to try to take over your life. He's going to want to, but He wants you by an act of your will to give in to Him. And so the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself to diligent seekers more so than casual inquirers. So I encourage you to seek it. So God wants to be ever-present in our life. We just need to start by surrendering our will to His will. You know, God is for us, not against us. Know that He wants to guide us through life. So I encourage you to take that extra step. Come out from the crowd. You know, be a professional Christian, not an amateur. I mean, I don't know how to say this in a nice way. But my goal is for you to get off the benches and start getting in the game. You know, get out there so you can be a part and let God speak through you. There's no telling what God can do through you. God only knows. I don't know. I don't even know what God can totally do through me yet. But God wants to reveal it. He wants to lead us every step of the way. Let's pray.